The scripture from today is from Matthew 13, 18 through 23. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bear fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30.
This was the passage that I was going to preach from all week long, and what's happened the past 48 hours, it just kind of turned my heart in a different direction. Jesus talks about the word of the kingdom in this passage. What is that word that Jesus talks about? What is that word that Jesus talks about? We most of the time we use it as kind of a responsive call to worship. For God so loved the world. I was so tempted to make a smart remark there. Hello? Okay, I'm sorry, God, I'll rephrase that. A guy named Richard Rohr wrote a paragraph that has stuck with me. He wrote a book called The Divine Dance, and I think maybe one of our classes has studied some of his writings, if I'm not mistaken. I think Sharon's class studied one of his writings. He's a Catholic, and he's a Catholic who gets in trouble with the Catholic Church a lot. So he and I have that in common. We both tend to get in trouble with our own ecclesiastical leaders. But he wrote that, listen to this. Christianity is a lifestyle, a way of being in the world that is simple, nonviolent, shared, and loving. However, we made it into an established religion and all that goes with that, and avoided the lifestyle change itself. One could be warlike, greedy, racist, selfish, and vain in most of Christian history and still believe that Jesus is one's personal Lord and Savior. Whoa. The world has no time for such silliness anymore. The suffering on earth is too great. Wow. In our parable this morning, and this is the only explanation you're going to get, Peggy, about the actual parable. In our parable this morning, the word has power, but gets lost sometimes in the messiness that is the world. Does anyone disagree with that? Again, what is that word? For God. Keep going.
Yeah.
That side won, by the way. No. Jesus brought that word. If you look up John 3:16, Jesus brought that word. He brought that word into the world. He became literally what? The word become flesh? He brought that word into the world, and for his trouble, he was killed. By the establishment. I believe that as a nation, as a people, even as a world, we're in a very bad place today. You know, one tragedy is that the events of the last 48 hours are no longer shocking. I heard on a report earlier this morning that the events in El Paso and in Ohio were numbers 249 and 250 in mass killings. The frequency of these horrific events has rendered the phrase thoughts and prayers almost meaningless. And when it becomes almost meaningless that you tell someone you are in my thoughts and prayers and that sounds somehow vacuous, we are not in a good spot, my friends. The frequency of these horrific events teaches us the frightening lesson that hate indeed is powerful. It seems that around the globe, hate is fueling wars and rumors of wars. And it seems in some ways, the hate is always directed at the different. At the different. In the two incidents of the past 48 hours, it seems as if both perpetrators looked for an America that is both frightening and evil. The hate is always directed at the different. And our tribalism is increasing at a scary rate. I look forward to the day. And this may sound unpatriotic. I look forward to the day when we are simply known as earthlings. Nanu, nanu. Oh, I know I mixed my metaphors there with Spock and Mork from Ork. Back to the scripture. The word has power. The word has power to renew, to heal, to bring together, to teach, to lift up, to reconcile, and to save. And whose responsibility is it for that word to be made manifest, real in the world? Whose responsibility is it? Ours. Hours. But the words of hate and division also have power. In recent memory, we have seen its destructive power from the Twin Towers to the streets of Dayton. Hate propelled both of those actions. Hateful actions fueled by hateful words have wreaked destruction on our nation and on our world, and we are becoming more divided by the day. What are we to do as a church? Well, I'm sure you remember the lesson from last week, right? Oh, don't worry about it. I don't remember the lesson from last week. I had to go look up my sermon. But last week's lesson were the words of Jesus in which he tells us to be salt and light. Right? We are to be the salt of the... And what does salt do once again? It adds flavor. And what does light do? It illumines and makes evident, does it not? So we are to be bright and flavorful. We must be a place here where differences are celebrated. We must be a place here where people can learn about each other. We must be a place here where hate cannot get a grip on people's hearts. We must be a place here where, like Richard Rohr defines, where the Christ-like lifestyle is lived out and not simply said on Sunday morning. And that lifestyle is simple, nonviolent, shared, and loving. We must be a people in which God's word of love takes root. Amen.